So thank you for coming this morning. And as Joseph said, we are in our pandemic perspective series, where we're taking several weeks to think about important things that have come up during the pandemic that have made us think more deeply about life, and especially as Christians, where we want to ask, how are we thinking biblically about these things? So last week, Joseph preached on the church gathered and how the importance of coming together in community, because that was stripped away from us during the pandemic. And today, we are going to talk about technology. I have 8 key words that I'm going to use throughout the sermon. And so those words are technology, devices, tools, work, toil, rest, leisure, and instruments. To help you track with the meaning and ramifications of these words, I've put up some basic definitions on the slides just to help you and help your imagination engage as we go through this sermon today. So the pandemic has brought up the necessity and the negativity of technology. We were all shocked to find that for more than a month, technology was the only means of human connection. I think this shook many of us and gave us an opportunity to consider the place of technology in our lives. And it's a good time to do that in the world as it is right now, because I believe that we live in an era where there is a rising laziness about technology. It's taken over our lives, and we haven't even realized it. So the question to start us off this morning is, what is technology doing to us? Let me pause. Just think about that in your own life. What is technology doing to us? Let's clarify what we mean by technology. I'm not just thinking about iPads or smartphones. I'm thinking less about any one device as about a pattern that runs through all of our devices. There is a widely held view of technology that says, in essence, human beings have always had tools. We've always taken the world and reshaped it in ways that extended our capacities. Technology is simply our latest set of tools. Up to a point, this is true. The history of humanity is the history of persons. A person being, I would venture to say, a heart, soul, mind, and strength complex designed for love. From the beginning, humans have sought to extend their heart, their mind, their soul, their strength in various ways, through tools in the broadest sense. Tools obviously extend our strength. A hammer, for example, can focus the energy available to your arm from your arm to your hand in order to fasten two objects together. As a tool, a hammer not only extends your strength, but also develops it with use. In a real sense, a hammer extends my humanity as it engages my mind, my strength, my will to produce something good that I could not create without the hammer. Now, with the dawn of technology, I want to argue that for some extent, we have moved in a large part from tools to devices. Devices function like tools to some extent in that they augment human capabilities. But unlike tools, they do not extend our heart, soul, mind, strength capacities as much as replace them. So let's think about this with the tool of the hammer. What is the device that has replaced the hammer today? Any guesses?
The nail gun.
This baby operates at a pace and with a force that no carpenter, no matter how skilled, can match. Indeed, the beautiful thing about the nail gun is that it requires much less skill to use at a rudimentary level. I remember the hours my dad invested in me, teaching me how to use a hammer, how to aim, deliver, and follow through with the hammer so that each pound of the hammer was precise and effective. I also remember the day when my dad taught me to use the nail gun. Now, for some strange reason, pretty much the only thing Dad had to teach me about how to use the nail gun was to be careful with it, so I didn't accidentally fill my baby brother's brain with nails. Other than caution, there's not too much skill involved in a nail gun. But man, is it ever effective in getting the job done fast. Well, nail guns are great and useful, and there is an undeniable beauty in the precision of using an old-fashioned hammer. So the question before us is the discernment piece of when to use the nail gun and when to use the hammer. And here is the key distinction. As technology and devices continue to progress, to improve, making them more and more capable of operating on their own and asking less and less of us, we must pause and consider if our upgrades from one device to another may be nothing more than this driving pursuit to have easy everywhere. Easy everywhere is okay, but as technology continues to progress, it offers us leisure rather than rest and makes the possibility of toil endless. Let me unpack that statement. Let's think about the iPhone. This little device allows me to check my work email at any time and reply with great ease. I can also enjoy leisure time on it, if I so choose, through a myriad of games and apps. But the easiness of checking my work email anytime on my phone may also mean that I'm checking my work email all the time on my phone, and not in a wise pattern where I may productively and effectively engage in work. Rather, by checking it at any and all times, I have perhaps mindlessly created a toiling aspect out of my work. The true irony is that where technology is most established, most of us work much less hard physically than our forebears did, but we have somehow increased the amount of toil. We're working 24/7 on our devices. Work has lessened, but toil has increased. Think of toil as fruitless labor, labor that is draining rather than restorative, labor that does not prompt glad celebration when it is done. At its best, toil falls short of work, which transforms the world into greater flourishing. As Joseph read for us, the very first command God gives humanity is to work through stewarding the earth. We are created to work. And notice the crystal clear rhythm in Scripture. God creates, he gives humanity the gift of being sub-creators, and then God rests. God rests, and God commands humanity to rest too. We are not commanded to toil and then engage in leisure. And in the 21st century, in a world that is so full of toil, we go in search of respite. In the place of rest, devices offer us leisure. So let's engage this a bit deeper. If rest is the glad celebration of work done, leisure is more like inactivity, and often exhausted inactivity. On the other hand, rest is intrinsically connected to the fruit of work. We have worked, now we enjoy. We've done the work to prepare the meal, now we sit down and enjoy it with friends and family. Leisure is when we're too tired to work, to cook, and so we go out to eat. Just as toil is unsatisfying work, so leisure is ultimately unsatisfying rest. Unlike rest, leisure doesn't actually restore. At its best, it gives us a break and escape from the constant demands of our lives, but it often leaves us feeling strangely unsatisfied, like that too much binging feeling after one too many episodes have autoplayed on Netflix. So we need to be wise and ask if technology is making us more human or less human. Let me give you an example. You and your spouse are on a road trip, and the one in the shotgun has his phone out. He may choose to call his parents and engage in a meaningful conversation, and a conversation that could not happen without technology in that moment. He can relate the conversation back to you, the driver, and even have you engage in it through putting you on speakerphone. Or your husband could play a game on his phone that may give him a sense of leisure, but is not restorative and actually disconnects him from you. So in all of this, we must ask, is there a better way? Toil and leisure lessen our humanity, making us feel lethargic and disconnected. Soulless toil and soulless leisure lead to apathy and disconnect. So is there a better way? I believe there is. Let's think about that second and third text Joseph read for us. The "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." This text is called the Shema in the Old Testament, and it is the central instruction of God for the flourishing of God's people. This Old Testament text is then reaffirmed by Jesus, who says to love God is the first commandment, and to love your neighbor as yourself is the second. And on these two laws, everything in the Old Testament is summed up. Again, God sets up this commandment with the intent for human flourishing. Flourishing is what happens when we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and when we love our neighbor as ourself. Flourishing is a totally engaged life, a life that requires all of our capacities, in which all that we are and all that we have as human persons is developed and expressed to the fullest. The great wrong turn in history, in the history of technology, is that we wanted lives that were easy rather than lives that were full and flourishing. And so we need discernment, because technology is not in and of itself bad or harmful, but we must be wise in how we engage it. Does this technology extend my humanity or lessen it? To help you answer that question, I would suggest asking if the given technology can be used as a tool or merely as a device. Well, let's think again about God's pattern in Genesis of work and rest. I'm going to suggest here that we need rhythms of work and rest with technology. So first, rest often essentially requires that we subtract something from our lives. Some form of resting often includes a fast, as Thomas taught us. Subtraction is an intentional rest or Sabbath. In my day-to-day life, I try to adopt a strategy of rest with technology. 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year, I turn off my phone. The hardest rhythm for me is to turn off my phone 1 day a week. But this rhythm of subtraction helps me stay on the path to rest and not just leisure. For me, a large part of being a pastor today means a thoughtful engagement with technology. And the reality is that I spend a lot of time using technology to accomplish my work. I email, phone, drive places, and use the internet a lot in what I do. And so when it comes time to rest, I am especially aware that I need to rest from the very technology that helps me work productively. So subtraction is one piece to flourishing, But we also need to think about how to wisely engage technology. It's not enough to just say, put the phones away and call it good. We need to think about how we use it. We need to think about how to wisely engage it. And when we do that, we will be engaging technology as a tool rather than a device. Some technology comes in degrees of being a device or a tool. So, for example, the phone. Texting is okay, particularly for setting dates and times. Emailing is good for record keeping. Phone calls are better for dialogue. Video chats are nice for visual connection. But none of these can replace the deep goodness of face-to-face communication. Let's think once more about that first command from God to be fruitful and multiply. We could take that to only mean have babies, which is of course true, but we can also see it as a command to multiply the earth with flourishing in every way. So, for example, medical instruments allow a physician to examine and intervene in the systems of the body in a way that leads to healing. Medical instruments require the wise and skilled engagement of a person rather than displacing and replacing such a person. And musical instruments, perhaps above all, allow us to exercise and develop our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here's the true discernment piece. Can this technology be used as an instrument that allows me to engage in and multiply human flourishing? So, in closing, the truth about technology is that it can either become the ultimate device, thoroughly displacing and disengaging us, leaving us mired in toil and leisure and disconnected from ourselves and others. Or technology can be the ultimate instrument, fully engaging us in creative and worthwhile work and giving us ways to love God and our neighbor more. As we apply this in our own lives, I use this question as a guide. Will this tool extend my humanity or lessen it? Will I become more human through talking on the phone? Probably. Will I become less human through just playing mindless games while a human is sitting next to me and I'm disconnected from them? Probably. So the iPhone and the nail gun are great tools, and both can be used to extend my humanity or to lessen it. And so the question is how we engage it, and then how we thoughtfully rest from engagement with it. We cannot afford to be used by technology. But rather, we are called to wisely engage technology in a way that helps us take up our core human calling of full engagement with the world once more, where we ourselves become instruments in the Redeemer's hands, engaged with Him in the glorious renewal of all things, even technology. Right now, Lucas and Marika are going to engage tools as instruments, where string and wood and tension create a beautiful guitar, and voices pitched to the diatonic scale create melody and harmonies. They're going to sing a song of blessing over us that encourages us to engage with each other in bringing the presence of Christ with us. The fruit of such technology is a deep-rooted flourishing of heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you'd like to join in singing, I encourage you to stand and put on your mask. Thank you.